Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As our pastor says, you're the real teacher here, Lord Jesus. Anoint our hearts and our minds and our ears for your word, Father. Thank you, God. Lead my mind in the right way, Lord. I really want to speak your words and get across what you want to say this very morning. Praise your name, Jesus. All this is for you. All this is for your glory. Praise your name. Amen. We're in Proverbs 18 this morning, guys. And the reason for it is because my wife said. That works. I was going somewhere and she says, why don't you do Proverbs 18? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I'm looking at what I'm doing. I'm saying, I think I'll look at Proverbs 18. She's right. That was so many times. All right. So the Proverbs are single sentence sermons. One little thing, one little sentence gives you the whole thing. You can wax eloquently. I don't so much, but people can off of one sentence. We're going to do a whole bunch of sentences and get a whole lot of places. And I really like the Proverbs for that because I don't have to stay on one subject. I can go and kind of it plays out and I jump to the next one. I love that, actually. I have a lot of opinions on a lot of things. I'm pretty black and white, if you know me. I've been criticized for that before. It is what it is. Someone said, I like when Fred preaches because he says, do it. It's cut and dry. Just do it. Good. And I'm kind of like that. So here we go. Solomon wrote this particular proverb. And let's see what he had to say. Verse 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeks and intermeddles with wisdom. When men follow their carnal heart or are self-pleasing, they develop a mindset. They literally fool themselves. And you know what? They really think they're full of wisdom. It's incredible. Now, if you think you're all that and you know it all, then you're not going to want to hang out in God's house. You're not going to want to read God's word because you have all this knowledge yourself. You are so smart. This type of people, they rage or intermeddle with wisdom. In other words, they go against wisdom because, as I said, they are so smart. Sherry and I were eating out Outback Steakhouse, our favorite place to go. And there was a guy and a gal, they were sitting right across from us, right to the side of us here. And first date, they're in their 50s, and this guy, it was incredible. He's trying to press her, and he says, when I'm drunk, I am so smart. I kid you not. Sherry and I were busting up. We were laughing the whole time with their conversation, but then we couldn't contain ourselves. It was hilarious. I am so smart when I'm drunk. That's the same as this person right here. Here's what God's word says, but they are so smart. God's not so smart, and they are. It's incredible. But they rage. They go against wisdom. It's amazing. Here's what wisdom says in Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the gathering together of yourselves as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so the more as the day approaches. Now, wisdom says, show up to God's house. Good job, guys. You're wise. Well done. Now, why should we bother showing up? First of all, it is to present ourselves before the Lord. The King of Kings, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who holds all my molecules together, I'm presenting myself before him as I should, as I'm required. Now, I have a process of this. First of all, number one, I think it's important to show up. So I schedule it to show up. I'm going to be here on Sunday morning if I can. Doesn't mean I can't go on vacation. Doesn't mean I can't go to work because I have to work some Sundays. But it's a priority to be here, as I see it is for you also. Next, as I am driving, I'm in my car driving here, I am going to start my self-examination. Where have I been? How is my heart? Is it stinky? What is my attitude? Sherry had to fix my attitude yesterday. Thank you, wife. I think you're over there. Yes. Yeah, I was stinky. She called me on it. I fixed it. Thank you, Lord. And then I say, Lord, am I really yours? All this is going on as I'm driving here. Next, I enter his house, his courts, with praise and thanksgiving. I'm here to praise him. I'm not here. I love to see you guys. I'm here for him. Sorry, you're secondary. I love you, but you're secondary. I'm here for him. Right? Oh, by the way, it's okay to answer me when I ask you a question. And if I don't hear answers, I won't think I'm communicating well. I might ask you again. So please. Next, the message. It's for me. I may have heard it again. I may have heard the story about David or whatever 100 times. And I've been in church my whole life. So I literally have heard the story of David 100 times, I assure you. But this one's for me. It's for you. Listen. And next, if it's like on a communion Sunday, like today, don't let me forget, then I'm going to say, Lord, I remember, now it's communion time, my brain's now on communion time, I'm going to be saying, Lord, I remember what you have done. And at this point, since I've already dealt with the Fred stuff on my whole trip here and my praise and worship and God's word, I don't have to then say, oh, Lord, yeah, you remember where I am and I'm trying to relate to you and I'm, that's already dealt with. Now I can go into communion and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, why we show up. We're not here. When you are not here, just so you know, I miss you, and I do like to see your face, just so you know. Now, along with that, I hang out with the brothers, gals hang out, and whatnot. You've got something I need. You've got experience. You've got insight, maturity. You have been through some stuff. And we need you. As I said earlier, I like to see some of your faces. So be here. All right. Proverbs 27 says, iron sharpens iron. So we hang out to get sharpened off each other. Also, when you hang out with your brothers, sometimes you got some rough stuff on you. It kind of gets rubbed off. The rough stuff gets kind of rubbed off. All right? That's part of hanging out with your brothers. And now, when you hang out with the world because, you're so smart, guess what? You get chafed. All right? The world beats you up. And you know what? You get holes in you, right? Don't do that. Hang out here. Proverbs 27 also says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So if you see me, and you're going, Fred, what's going on? You better say, Fred, what's going on? Right? If you notice something's wrong with Fred, fix Fred. Okay, brothers? Fix my wife. Okay, sisters? Right. Oh, that goes the other way around too, Expect it. I love you. If I didn't, I won't say anything. Right? Louder. Right? If I love you, I'll say something. I love you guys. Verse 2. Yay. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Heart discover itself. Now, things may seem right to the fool, and it makes them happy for the moment, they think, but the heart lies. The heart is a liar, and you are foolish if you follow your heart. The end thereof is death. Death to relationships, death spiritually. Man, don't follow your heart. The heart lies. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now here's a dilemma. Jeremiah 31 says, God writes his will on my heart. But Fred's heart is flesh. Your heart's flesh. And feelings come in the way. So which one am I going to listen to? God's word written on my heart or Fred's feelings? Well, the one I'm going to feed is the one that's going to win out here. So if I'm showing up to God's house, if I'm studying his word and I care about him, and quite honestly, listening to Christian radio, I mean, mine's on Christian radio, period. We have the most amazing Bible teachers in this valley on our radio, including our pastor. And God's word should settle it. So when it comes to the heart and this dilemma, it's not a dilemma. Stay in God's word. You'll choose the right thing. Right? Thank you. Verse 3. When the wicked comes. Now, the wicked can be a person or a thing. Then comes also contempt, and with shame and humiliation. Stay away from the wicked thing. Don't walk there. Don't go there. Clothe yourself with Jesus. Make no provision for the desires of the flesh. Are you looking at porn on the internet? You know, it's so convenient. It's right there. Sometimes it comes and finds you. You don't have to go anywhere. Are you doing just a little bit? Is there something else, some other little sin that you're just, you know, contemplating, going there a little bit? It will bring shame and humiliation on yourself. Now, God can and does and will heal your mind of that, take away those fleshly desires if you ask him to. And you stay in his word and pray, show up. Point is, you have to ask. Ask. Okay. Good job. All right. Verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as a deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. We're talking about a godly man here. Okay. So if you desire to communicate better, the key is to deepen yourself spiritually. Read your Bible. Listen to Christian radio. I just threw that one in. It wasn't in my notes. Like I said, we've got the most amazing pastors here on the radio. But pray. Meditate on his word. And think on good things. Right? Thank you. This brings the Holy Spirit into the conversation, because the whole point here is that we're having deep thoughts. We're coming out with hopefully the Holy Spirit stuff, God stuff. Okay? Because when Fred talks, Fred's just talking. But Holy Spirit, as I believe is happening right now through his word, the Holy Spirit's talking, and he's talking to your heart and to your mind, and you're getting it. Right? Right. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. So we want to bring the Holy Spirit into our conversations, along with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and
self-control.
Right on, self-control. Verse 5. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. In other words, yeah, that's hard. What's that mean? In other words, don't pick the ungodly to rule over you. Guys, we're living this now. Elections have consequences. Here's a huge consequence already. This 1.9, not billion. I'll take a billion, please. Trillion. Okay, a trillion is a trillion. A trillion is a billion, billion, right? If my mind remembers. $1.9 trillion, which actually turned out to be 2 point something or other. Bailout. The government just did. Ironically, it is called the American Rescue Plan. Let's just go a little further with that one. It now mandates, guys, that your tax dollars will pay for abortion on demand for any and all reason. Period. Period. Want a divorce? Abortion? Okay. No sweat. Done. Pay for it. Government's got it. Abortion is big business. Now, here's the irony I told you about right here. Okay. It's called the American Rescue Plan. Really? What about the babies? Are you going to rescue the babies? No, we kill them. Irony? Yes. So, abortion is billions of dollars. Billions. It's big business. Okay, it's subsidies for abortion here. Oh, guess what? We export it to abroad also. Our tax dollars will pay to kill babies in other countries. Now, if you've had an abortion, you can ask the Lord for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. And he will not remember it anymore. It's done. Done. Now remember, he forgave King David, who murdered Uriah because he got Uriah's wife pregnant. And afterwards, God says, David, a man after my own heart. God forgives and forgets. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Right? Right. Abortion is big business. You might say, but I thought there were laws against funding tax dollars from funding. Oh, yeah, there are. Literally, laws for that. It's called the Hyde Amendment. There's others, too. And for this particular American Rescue Plan, 206 members of the House tried to bring to vote an amendment that says, hey, we're going to enact the Hyde Amendment so that you don't fund it with taxpaying dollars. Well, the current administration running things wouldn't let it come up for a vote. Sorry, we won't vote on it. We're going to do it our way. Now, you tell me, is this godly, A, or ungodly, B? A or B? Godly is B, in case you didn't catch it. It is ungodly, period. Now, just so you have comparison, the previous administration protected life, defunded Planned Parenthood. Now, is that godly or ungodly? Godly. Hey, good job. You guys are following very well. As a nation, we get and got what we deserve. I could go on. There will be much fodder to talk about in the future, I assure you. Guys, the lines are being drawn, and you will have to pick a side. And it will be, as I said, black and white. It will be black and white, period. You will have to pick a side. And yeah, the politically correct side, it's not godly. All right, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. He needs punched. The fool needs punched. Man, I've been some places I've been tempted. But I haven't done it, okay? Tempting is not the same as doing, all right? All right. So I am learning to slow down my response, slow down, because I can feel like I'm going to punch someone quite often. And so I'm learning to slow down, especially when I'm attacked. It's like, I have no problem saying, we're going to talk about this later. I'm literally going to go pray about it, ask the Lord what to do, and wisdom in the situation. And what I have found is when I have done this, literally say, we're going to talk about this later. When I come back, they've cooled down also, and now they're approachable, and we can come to a middle place where we can both be in agreement, and not make an enemy. Sounds pretty smart to me. Proverbs 15 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Let us be soft in our response. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Guys, when we open our mouth, we can't take it back. It's out there. Oh man, is it out there. And Jesus said about our mouth, out of the abundance of our heart, that's what you're really thinking, your mouth speaks. So you said it? Yeah, you really meant it. You may say afterwards, I didn't, but you said it. You said it. Now, if we love our neighbor as ourself, we should live peaceably, talk peaceably. With that, our spouse. How do you talk to your spouse? I noticed here in our church, it's been some years, they no longer go here. I noticed a couple that were, their conversations were constantly cutting each other. Little quips, little attacks, little juice. And I went to him and I said, brother, I said, I've noticed this about you. And he says, we're just playing. We're just having fun. And I said, brother, your wife doesn't think so. I'm telling you now, you're hurting her. No, we're just having fun. Guys, it was less than a year. They were divorced. That didn't just happen all by itself. Okay? It's a pattern. You break them down, you beat them up. You can't do that. So here's a litmus test. If someone talks to your wife the way that you, or husband, the way that you do, would you rip their face off? For a lot of people, yes. They would need their face ripped off. And so do you. Don't talk to your spouse this way. We need to be building them up. Ephesians 4 says, let no unclean talk come out of your mouth, but that which is edifying, building up, that it may give grace to those that hear. Treat yourself, your spouse, special. They are. They're the only one you have, and hopefully the only one you will have. Right? Thank you. Verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Excuse me. Tales, whether they are true or false, they are destructive. Why do people say things in the first place? People often like to be perceived that they have inside information. They may make it up, they may really have inside information, but they like to be the insider. They like to be the person that knows everything about everything. Oh, and you can trust them. You can tell them all your stuff because they won't tell anybody, right? Now, I have found, I didn't make this up, a pastor, doesn't matter which, said this, and it's worth repeating. There is a mnemonic for this. It is think. So the T is, before you say anything, put it through this matrix, think. Is it true? Okay, yeah, it's a true story. All right, I can go on then. Is it helpful? Is it helpful to this whole conversation? Yeah, it could be. All right, let's go on. Is it inspiring? Maybe. Yeah, maybe we'll go alone. Is it needed? Yeah, I think it could bring some light into this. Is it kind? Well, then don't say nothing, right? That's it. Think. Think before you speak. That's loving. It works. It will keep you out of a lot of trouble. Right? Great. Verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. I didn't come up with this one, but it's a good one. The only time success comes before works is in the dictionary. That's a good one. That was John Corson's. I'll give him credit for that. So to be slothful is to be a waste. Don't be slothful. Don't be a waste. The Bible tells us to work as unto the Lord. And if you don't work, you don't eat. Except in this country. Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that one. Verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. All day, guys. All day. And I'm not exaggerating. And one of my brothers is like this too. All day. I don't know who got it from who. But all day, we're literally going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all situations. Thank you, Jesus. And most of the days is praise, thank you, Jesus. Part of the day is, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. They're prayers. I'm praying all day. I'm talking to the Lord. I need it. And situations need it. It focuses me. And it's real. And his name alone is able to make a difference in all of my situations, all the situations. So I'm saying the right name for the right reason, and I expect there to be good things come from it. Now, sometimes we need to grab onto people. Oh, let me see here. Make sure I'm not getting messed up. No, I'm good. Good. Make sure I'm not messed up on my notes. Now, sometimes we need people to grab on. We need flesh. That person better be a godly person that I can lean on. I've got great brothers I can hang out with here that I can lean on. I hope you do too. If you don't, well, first of all, this is the right place to find that brother, sister to lean on that you can go to when stuff happens, all right? If that person is you that someone might need to lean on, you need to be prepared. You need to be in God's word. You need to be approachable and ready for the brothers, sisters, brother, right? You need to be ready for that position, for you to fill that position. Be the godly man that is ready for this. I've got great guys here that I can go to. Incredible. I am so blessed. Guys, it is not just about us that we're here. It really is about the people that we can minister to. That's what, remember the rubbing? Remember the sharpened, brother sharpened, iron, iron, you know, rubber, rubber, right? It's what it's about. Verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city and is a high wall in his own conceit. The rich man says, this is a rich, ungodly man. Riches are not inherently evil. I'll take all you want to give me. So this is the ungodly rich man. He says, look what I did. Look who I am. Man, I'm amazing. Now, what do we have except the Lord gave it to us? Bible says, all good things are from the Lord. Even for the ungodly? Well, let's look at this little verse right here. James 5 says, your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten, gold and silver corroded, and the rust of them shall witness against you. You shall eat, and they shall eat your flesh as it were fire. The rich man's riches that God gave him are a testament against him in the end. So all good things come from the Father for all of us. I like that. I know where my help comes from. I know where all of my finances come from. I know where my blessings come from. I know where my wife came from. Thank you, Lord. Verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Haughty means arrogant, superior, disdainful. Continuing verse. And before honor is humility. The heart of a people or a nation, when things are great, can be haughty, arrogant, superior, disdainful. Who does that sound like? Anybody? USA? Did I hear? Now, the Lord loves us too much to leave us like that. Yeah, this nation is not headed the right direction. He loves this nation. He loves all nations. But he loves us too much to leave us like this. So, you know, humility's coming. Humility is coming. We, if it's me, the personal note, if I am this guy, then humility's coming. I'm going to crash. Okay? We as a nation, we're going to be humbled. The Lord's going to see to it. It's just the way it is. And that's good, guys. That is good. Right? Yes. Yes. Okay, now. There's no such thing as happenstance. Okay, understand that. No such thing. And what's the word? I didn't write it down, but... I'll get it. Doesn't matter. No such things as happenstance. Things don't happen to Christians, I'll make it broader than that. Things don't happen to people, okay? They happen for us. There is a purpose for it. For the unbeliever in particular, all right? God, the great designer, mercifully directs events to drive us and Christians and non-Christians, to drive us to our knees so that we will seek mercy Okay? If we don't have him, if we don't have Jesus, if we haven't made that decision, we have death. Okay? Dead man walking. Really simple. Okay? He wants everyone to be at their knees, to call upon his name, so they don't go to hell. God didn't make hell for us. We volunteer to go there. I'm not going, by the way. I hope you're not either. So circumstances, they're designed to humble us. Be humbled. Okay, we have to go through humiliating things. Back to my notes. We have to go to humiliate through humiliating things to grow. I have to. You have to. And we will grow by blowing it. Oh, yeah. I've blown it a bunch of times, and I grow, hopefully. Hopefully, I don't have to repeat that one too many times, okay? And, of course, after I blow it, I repent, and I go to the foot of the cross, always on everything. That's the process. That's where the Lord takes us so that we can grow. Verse 13. He that answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. I've been there. Yeah, I've done all kinds of not too brainy things. Right? And you have too, sorry. But we have to hear the whole story. So after we hear the whole story, then we take it to God's word. We use that as a frame and we make a decision as to right or wrong. But let's use God's word as a frame and not my experiences, my heart, what I feel, as we discussed earlier. Let's use God's word as a frame, a standard for what is right and wrong. Period. With that, God's word says what it means, and it means what it says. Period. There aren't. Once again, I'm very black and white. Okay? And it works. God's word says what it says, and it means what it says. Let's use that as the frame. 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Your spirit can see you through physical or spiritual infirmity. Okay, that would be a good spirit that's like, I'm going to make it. You know, I got cancer, but I'm going to make it. Quite often you make it. Okay? If you go into this with, oh, you're probably not going to make it. Just saying. It's huge what your spirit does. Okay. Now, if your spirit is wounded, who can bear it? A wounded spirit. It haunts you like a bear. A bear. A polar bear. A polar bear is, it's got a smell, olfactory system, is 7 times more sensitive than a bloodhound. Whoa. It can smell a drop of blood up to 20 miles away. If it is wounded by a hunter, these polar bears have been known to track the hunter for more than 10 days, seeking revenge. Now, if you were the hunter and you made it to day 11, you've barely made it. If you didn't like that joke, just grin and bear it. A wounded spirit strikes out. It wants revenge. We can be just like a polar bear, holding on to past hurts. I'm going to track you down. We can hold on to these past hurts in marriage, or a friend, or family. Whatever the situation, take it to Jesus, and like Jesus, be done with it. Finished. I remember it no more. Don't bring it up again. Done. Right? Louder. Good answer. 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. We have all been given a spiritual gift. Most people spend 90% of their time on the stuff that they're not good at, trying to shore it up, trying to make the package bigger, if you will. But a successful person spends 90% of his time at what they're good at. They're God-given gifts. And those can be two different things. They're both God-given. But you've got the God talent with my hands, okay? And then you've got your spiritual side, which is, of course, God-given also. And you develop those. Develop those things. Those things will make you money. Those things will make you deep spiritually, where you're dependable, where you become that brother to be approached. Work on those talents that you have. Now, the verse, a man's gift, that is singular, says this scripture, opens doors for him. It opens possibilities and fruitfulness. This is attributed to Benjamin Franklin, where this saying, and it was, be a jack of all trades and a master of none. He didn't say that, but that's what everyone says, right? Which is kind of funny. Right? What he actually said is be a jack of all trades and a master of one. Man, was he ever. Wow, the guy was incredible. Just incredible. So Ben was actually saying, I can do many things, but I have mastered only one. Verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. So the first guy shows up and it's like, here's what happened. I'm like, oh, that dirty rat. How could he do that to you? Your neighbor really stinks. I'm glad I don't live next to that guy. But then the neighbor comes along and he says the rest of the story. And you're like, oh, you skunk. You know, you skunked first guy. So the rest of the story. So the truth usually is somewhere in the middle because they haven't communicated because they're both so mad, as we talked about earlier. And so they need, anyway. The truth is somewhere in the middle. Don't make up your mind ahead of time. Ask questions. Stay out of trouble. Stay out of the middle of it if you can. That's even better yet, right? Right. But sometimes trouble comes to you and you have to make decisions, and this is life. So there you go. Verse 18, the lot, you know, dice or straws or coin, whatever. The lot causes contentions to cease and parts between the mighty. Sometimes things are too hard to decide, okay? You can't decide. Yeah, you got great reasons for this. You've got great reasons for this. Who's right? I don't know. Who's going to get the car? I don't know. Give me a coin. Sometimes it's not worth arguing about. Coin, done, throw it, heads or tails. Sometimes that's the best way to go. Verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won back than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. When you offend your brother or a family member, it is hard to win them back. Or someone at work, you've offended them, it is hard to win them back. Yuck. Strive not to offend your brother, your work people. If you know you have offended them, go fix it. God's word says to do it even before you come to him with your offering. Go to them, fix it. Whatever it takes. You're the offender. Whatever it takes, fix it. Verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. You may, I may be eating my words, so make sure they're good. Negative words will affect you too. If you're going around, oh man, a previous fire department I worked at, we had a guy. He was called the morale officer because all he ever said was negative, negative, negative. It was terrible. Morale officer. That was spiteful, of course, we said that. But there was nothing positive. It was always bring down, bring down. It was horrible. Negative words will affect you and others. They don't affect just the person that you're using them. They do affect you too. So, use positive words. 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What is the most powerful word we could possibly say? Jesus. And along those lines, in relation to Jesus, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you have to say it, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again and that he is your Lord, you will be saved. You must, at some point in your life, have to have spoken this, that Jesus is Lord. In some way, fashion, shape, that's what your decision for Christ had to come to, where you said, you're it, and that settles it. But you have to say it. You can believe it in your heart. Yeah, I'm Christian, yeah. I saw, I read, I wrote, did it, I heard. But until you say it, it's not done. That is the most powerful words you will ever say. As far as God's word, God called everything with a word into being. Words really are important. Death and life really are in the tongue, spiritually and relationship-wise. We've mentioned that already, how. And practicality, that wasn't word at all. Practically as well. Words mean something. Choose them well. They're important. They should only be lifting up and blessing people. Verse 22. Whoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Now, if you want the Lord to bring you the right person, you need to be the right person. Where do you spend your time? Are you living in the world and expecting a godly spouse? I cringe right now because I think of people that are doing this, that have done this. And that was a real cringe. Someone went through my mind, and I just went, oh, gosh, terrible. If you want to be attracted, if you want to attract a godly man, be the godly woman. If you want a godly spouse, be the godly person. Show up in God's house. I got to tell you, I'm not bragging. It's just the way it is. Sherry walked into church I was in 38 years ago, babe. 37. 37 years ago, she said, you are lifting your hands to the Lord. And she said, sorry. You tell them. Okay. for those out in the internet land, now that I've composed myself, she walked in, she saw me, she said to the person she was with, she said, "That's going to be my husband." We were married 6 months later, and no, we weren't pregnant. If you want that kind of a person, you need to be that kind of a person. You know, if you're shopping in a bar, you're going to get a bar fly. I can't. So, like I said, all these pictures of people going through my minds that have just destructed their lives. We're currently fasting and praying for some of them. The destruction is just horrible. And you know, you've seen the same thing. It's just beyond. Be the person you want them to be. And it'd be, okay, I think I said enough. All right, verse 23. The poor uses humble requests. And the rich, though, answers roughly. This is why the Lord wants us to be humble in spirit. Okay? Humility before the Lord. Humility before our brothers and sisters. You know, when we want something, we ask. We come humbly and ask. Trying to think of an example. I didn't think of one previously. You see, our church finances are awesome. We don't need to do anything on that. I don't need to, anyway. Be humble. As a Christian, we're supposed to be humble when we come with requests. The rich, though, the rich answers roughly because they've got their bucks to back them. It's just the way it is. The Proverbs are just stating facts. Verse 24, a man that has friends must show, make sure I read that right, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Okay, I hear often, okay, that I don't know anybody in here, and we hear this, I don't know anybody in here, and we're like, first of all, we're thinking, okay, we see it there, and you don't go talk to anyone, and you run out as soon as church is over. And if you want friends, you got to be friendly, okay? Hang out with us, see who we are, all right? Some of that rubbing stuff and iron and stuff and iron sharp and iron stuff, and you got to hang out. We want you to hang out. We want to know who you are, all right? As we said earlier, you've got experiences. You've got life. I want to hear about your life. I love stories. I have been so blessed in my life. I've worked with some incredible people and got to spend hours and hours and hours with them. People that have been Korean War, experiences all over the world. And I'm just, wow. I've never been anywhere. Okay, I was born here. All right, Reno, this is it. I haven't gone anywhere. This, my whole, everything is here. I love talking to people. So, talk to me. No one else may want to hear. I want to hear your stories. My family friends back here, Frank, I seldom get to sit with him, but he's like, just love to hear him. Stories, all that. If you want to be friends, if you want to have friends, be friendly, hang out. Simple. And above that, the next we have, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And of course, that is Jesus. Jesus. And that is all of my notes. Now, what was I not supposed to forget? Good job. Get your little cute cuppy thingamajig. And my cute little wife's going to come up. Now, I already went through the steps with you guys that I go through, and literally I did go through those steps when I got in my car with my wife. My brain's already going to that. I like that. Darth Vader music. So I've gone through the steps. I hope you have too. As I was mentioning them, hopefully you were thinking about communion ahead of time. It's a time where hopefully we have gotten our mind right ahead of time, was my point earlier. And now we're really at that point where we're going to remember what the Lord has done for us. And I'm just going to read it from Matthew 26. And that is verse 6. No, 26, verse 26 also. And so, here's Jesus hanging out with his disciples at the Last Supper. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Go right ahead.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. Ooh, you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Ooh, our hearts always hunger for.
And he took the cup. And he gave thanks. And he gave it to him. And he said, "Drink of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Rescue the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts are hopelessly lost our way. Ooh, we've hopelessly lost our way. Oh, you are the one that we praise. You are always hunger for. Ooh, our hearts always hunger for.
Brothers, sisters, take the life that we have. Go out in the world and be a light. Show some Jesus around. Be what we're supposed to be. Do what we're supposed to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.